Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio, creating waves of awareness over the airwaves, via the internet, and by friends telling friends they care. Working in unity to promote homeopathy around the globe. Every Sunday through Thursday, join us for a personal tour of Who's Reading the Organon? A show co-hosted by Vera Resnick and Debbie Bruck. We're challenging you to join us on our journey to complete Samuel Hahnemann's Organon in 1 year. Let's go!
Hello, I'm Debbie Bruck, founder of Homeopathy World Community, and I'll be talking with classical homeopath Vera Resnick. You are listening to another episode of Who's Reading the Organon? We usually begin with a few motivational and inspirational tweets from Twitter. And I'm glad that Dr. Amir Saleem is able to hear us from Lahore, Pakistan today, and there are many others who are listening in. So the motivation for today is one quote from Wayne Lambert, whose Twitter identity is Fast Self-Help. He says, "Do not be afraid of mistakes, providing you do not make the same one twice," quoted by Eleanor Roosevelt. If we all did the things we were capable of doing, we would literally astound ourselves. That is a quote by Thomas A. Edison and sent to us by Larissa Gluck. I wonder, perhaps Edison was totally astounded by the things that he accomplished in his day with light and electricity. Joe Schroeder, his quote is, "The universe does not give you what you want. It gives you what you expect." That seems to be something with an affinity to the placebo effect. So let's see how we're doing. Susa is in the dark in Brazil. Maybe they do not have lights there, but I'm hoping he does have the internet. And I'm going to check to see if our good homeopath Vera is on the air. Yes, it looks like she's with us.
Hi, Debbie.
Hello, Vera.
Can you hear me?
I'm hearing you just fine. And I gave a couple of quotes today. And I also wanted to remind people of the ways that they can link to our program. One is by visiting your personal blog page. Another is by joining onto Homeopathy World Community and joining the BTR chat group, and there they can get some daily reminders. Also, you're on the live chat right now if you are a member of HWC, and you can comment there, and I will read, or you will read, some of the comments on air. And there is one other way that people can participate, and that is by calling in to the guest number. And if we can acknowledge you, if there's enough time, the number is 347-945-6956. And if there is time, we may be able to take a look and acknowledge those people.
Okay, Debbie, so, I'd just like to explain what people will find on my blog. The address
great.
For the blog is on the group page. Just for those who aren't familiar with it, what I'm putting on my blog, it's my belief that for people to absorb the organon, to allow it to sink in, if you will, it's a good idea to try to write each aphorism in your own words. So my particular blog is a challenge that I started just after Hahnemann's birthday this year to put the organon into my own words for my use. by next year. It's not intended to be a scholarly translation in any shape or form. Some of it is spoof, some of it is very colloquial language, some of it, I'm sure much of it, is imperfect translation. It's not intended to be translation. But what I recommend to anyone who's listening and anyone who is working on moving ahead with their Organon studies, just try to put the aphorisms in your own words. Assume that it may not be perfect, it may not be just right, but it will be more yours than if you just start reading a couple of sentences and forget them, because the language doesn't speak to you. Okay.
Yes, so this is our means and hope that we're studying together, and I love the way that you do use mnemonics, whether it is something humorous or a memorable image in your mind. There's just something that you can use to fix that aphorism into your memory.
But here my recommendation is that each reader should see what that aphorism says to him or her. Each reader should see what associations and develop their own umbrella statement, as we say. Okay,
yes,
shall we start in with 274?
Sure, I'd like to do that. I want to also remind people that Mark Moody, who is doing excellent research to heal the planet using sustainable agriculture, is asking for your help. There is a banner on the front page to help his Considerata project. And also to take a look at what's going on in our world regarding the Gulf of Mexico oil spill and the devastation of the environment, and how homeopaths may be able to participate in some way using their remedies for the illnesses that are going to come about. Okay, I'm ready to go with you into aphorism 274, is it?
Yes, just before we start, I'd like to mention Gary Weaver has recommended a translation of the Organon by B.K. Sarkar, S-A-R-K-A-R. So if anyone has any comments on that, please go ahead, give opinions on different translations of the Organon. 274, okay. And now we are with Berica's translation of the Organon, which some people like, some people don't. Personally, I like, but then I'm not a native German speaker and I'm not a pinpointer. I find that through Berica, I can understand more than if I try to read it in the original German. So I suppose that's a basic benchmark. As the true physician finds in simple medicines, administered singly and uncombined, all that he can possibly desire, artificial disease forces which are able by homeopathic power completely to overpower, extinguish, and permanently cure natural diseases, he will, mindful of the wise maxim that it is wrong to attempt to employ complex means when simple means suffice, never think of giving as a remedy any but a single simple medicinal substance. We have here Hahnemann's favorite writing tricks, long sentence, and we're not at the end of the sentence yet, several double negatives, and rather a lot of information, which for these reasons also, I'm continuing to read, because even though the simple medicines were thoroughly proved with respect to their pure peculiar effects on the unimpaired healthy state of man, it is yet impossible to foresee how two or more medicinal substances might, when compounded, hinder and alter each other's actions on the human body. And because, on the other hand, a simple medicinal substance, when used in diseases, the totality of whose symptoms is accurately known, renders efficient aid by itself alone, if it be homeopathically selected. And supposing the worst case to happen, that it was not chosen in strict conformity to similarity of symptoms, and therefore does no good, it is yet so far useful that it promotes our knowledge of therapeutic agents, because by the new symptoms exhibited by it in such a case, these symptoms which this medicinal substance has already shown in experiments on the healthy human body are confirmed, an advantage that is lost by the employment of all compound remedies. Are you still there, Debbie?
You're going to have to break that down for me, Vera, because that sentence is it's a compound sentence.
It's a compound sentence.
Of about 10 different ideas.
Very much a compound. And we're experiencing a proving that compounds with so much information that is all pushing against each other is causing extreme confusion of mind.
Very good.
Not to mention vertigo in the vortex.
Let's get ourselves straightened out here then.
Okay, one of the things that I like best here is Hahnemann actually gives us a very precise definition of what a homeopathic medicine is, and he does that at the beginning. Artificial disease forces which are able by homeopathic power to completely to overpower, extinguish, and permanently cure natural diseases. That is what our remedies are. And a wonderful definition. I wish it had come earlier on in such clarity.
Okay.
What do you think, Deb?
Artificial disease forces, which are able by homeopathic power completely to overpower, extinguish, and permanently cure natural diseases. Okay, so we're using
a force.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can help me with that. We're using another kind of a force, a stronger force than the natural disease energy.
Basically, when we use a remedy, we're using an artificial disease force in a globule.
Uh-huh.
That's what we're doing in a globule, in a medicinal solution. This is Hahnemann's genius, was to harness artificial disease forces in a way that would not be harmful, that would be rapid, permanent, gentle, depending on who's using them. And this is what we're giving our patients. Now, we can't really say to our patient, here's your artificial disease force in 30C, take it twice a day. But basically, this is what we're doing. We're giving them an artificial disease force in homeopathic form, which works rapidly and permanently if we manage to get the prescription right. And this is a definition which I think is very elegant.
I think that people unfamiliar with homeopathy or homeopathy would still need more explanation of what an artificial disease force is, how we could make one or find one or give one.
I think, Debbie, it's problematic because the main drive of the discussions that we are having on this show are for people who are either students or homeopaths. And I would imagine that anyone who has no familiarity whatsoever with homeopathy, it would be best served by going to a book that gives an introduction on homeopathy before listening to this show. Otherwise, it would be far too complex. Much of the work that we're doing now is aimed at helping people practice better. So it's really more practitioners and students. And I would very much say to the person who is listening, if anyone's listening who is not a homeopath, not a homeopathic student, I would give the old instruction when watching Superman jumping from a high building, do not try this at home.
Oh, boy, that's scary. Okay.
No, not scary. Not scary. It's by the same token that people under the age of whatever shouldn't be drinking alcohol. It's you use what you learn to use. You don't use an electric saw if you haven't learned to use it. I personally would avoid them. As I'd like to keep all my limbs intact. But so I think that it's very important that you raise that, Debbie, because I think that has to be a clarification within this show. That this is aimed for people who are working with homeopathy. I have no objection that people who are interested in homeopathy should be listening, but you you out there will find that you need further explanation on subjects like the ones that are coming up in this aphorism.
Well, I do believe that beginners and those who are unfamiliar can listen in, and even though they don't understand it 100% completely, they can get the gist of many of the universal truths and the principles and get an idea of what it is that homeopaths do and how they think about the world. So they can really reap a lot of benefit also.
Okay.
So now we're ready?
So let's get back to breaking down. We have this definition of what a remedy is. It's an artificial disease force. And this is something that we'll be going into again when we revisit the earlier aphorisms describing more what homeopathy is, how it functions. So we've got the definition. Now also we have a wise maxim. It is wrong to attempt to employ complex means when simple means suffice. Also known as keep it simple, stupid.
Exactly.
Have you heard that one?
Oh, definitely.
The Kiss anagram.
Yes, that really makes sense. If there is a straight line to reach the end point, why go in an elaborate, convoluted direction when you can reach that point so much more efficiently and quickly?
Well, some people call it the scenic route.
Oh, well, that's not when you're sick.
Exactly.
When you're sick, you want to go home.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
But part of the whole thrust of 273, 274 is we're saying, Hanuman is saying, don't give more if you don't have to. Don't use complex means if simple means suffice. And to some extent, in order to move ahead with homeopathy, with classical homeopathy, we need to accept that we're looking at versions, not the simplest as in the easiest, because you can just buy it over the counter in a combo, but the simplest, the most straightforward way of moving from sickness to health. Simple
and,
in terms
you know,
of not...
That may sound easy, but for the homeopath, that takes years of study. Years of knowledge, of familiarity with the principles, with the remedies, with interacting with patients. It is a true art.
I think also it's a true art because we are so brainwashed. We're used to going to a doctor, most of us, except perhaps for the very young homeopaths. We're used to going to a doctor and getting a medicine for this and a medicine for that and a medicine for the other, and then going to a specialist and getting another little collection, cocktail. We're not used to one remedy being able to touch so many systems. I remember close to when I was starting out as a homeopath, I was working with a patient and I gave her arsenic. She had a flu, I think, at the time, but it seemed to relate to a chronic, and she connected so well to the remedy. She then had a digestive problem later on, several months or half a year, something like that. I thought, well, let's try arsenicum. It worked really well before. I have chronic connections also, and it helps. So it helped in the flu. It helped in the gastro problem. Then there was a problem with... a gynecological problem. I thought, you know what? Let's try first arsenicum because it has helped already and it's shown that it has connection with this patient. And even though I knew the theory that a remedy can help through many different systems in the body, seeing it in practice is impossible. And it's something that's necessary to undo the brainwashing we've all been through.
Exactly. Not one remedy, not one drug for a specific disorder, but something that carries through for the entire person in all aspects of their life.
I mean, I think it can carry through. I don't think it can carry through from birth to hopefully death in old age. But I think that I've seen one remedy cover different systems different physiological systems and mental and emotional complaints. Certainly for a while, in this particular patient, the remedy was antidoted by two tests that were carried out on the same day, a mammogram and a bone density scan. And after that, I couldn't get the remedy to work again. But even through different pharmacies, different potencies, something had changed.
So you could not get it to work again. Okay.
Couldn't get
and
it
so
to work again.
You have brought up a new concept, one of antidoting. I don't know whether we recall if we've talked about that, but we're going to kind of bypass that and continue on with this definition. And sometime in a later show, we'll talk about antidoting. So we're up to, for these reasons also, because even though the simple medicines...
Let's just summarize, Debbie. The first part of 274 is really backing up 273. Keep it simple. There's no need to use more than one. If you're a true physician, then you won't think of giving more than one remedy. Single, simple medicinal substance. And we will not go into all the definitions of single, simple medicinal substance. We'll leave that for the people who are more into the language aspects of the organon. For these reasons also, because even though the simple medicines, here we come to the point you started to make, even though the simple medicines were thoroughly proved, it's impossible to foresee how two or more medicinal substances might alter each other's actions and hinder each other's actions on the human body. Okay, so here we come to the point of proving. Homeopathic treatment is based on remedies that are proven according to the theory, according to Hahnemann's practice. So it means that if we are going to give calcarea, or if we're going to give phosphorus, our reasons for giving calc phos should not be because we see something of calc and something of phos. It should be based on the proving of calc phos.
Mm-hmm.
Now this has been disagreed with, but I prefer just to go along with the basic methodology that Hahnemann presents here, in the interest of keeping it simple.
Okay, but I do believe that people can be led to investigate the materia medica and proving of calc phos by recognizing the appearance of what looks like a calcarea or looks like a phosphorus picture.
Mm-hmm.
And that might give them question, and they would then have the doubt in order to investigate further another more perfect match for that person.
Yes, I think that's true. I did that once. I was working with a kid, and I was trying to figure out what remedy I wanted to give him. And I saw there was something of calc, and there was something of phos. And then I thought, well, why don't I look up calc phos and see if the remedy calc phos, as calc phos, has relevance for this patient. And it did. It was helpful. So
Can I interject here a couple of comments by the listening audience? Dr. Suha Katbagi says, in my view, the natural compound should be considered as simple substance and should be treated as one remedy only. And then he says, talking about footnote 273, for example, natrum phos, where natrum and sulfur are two compounds, but together they have their own identity, different from sodium and sulfur individually. And Dr. Gary Weaver, DO, he says, a compound is a mixture of various substances by definition, a collection joined together artificially. I don't see the naturalness. So he's more questioning, and
yeah.
Dr. Suhas is more giving a definition.
I think to relate to those comments also, there are differences between compounds that are found in nature and compounds that are put together artificially. And also, ultimately, what's had a proving done. I know that there's quite a big question about calcium because calcium is a compound that was put together artificially. But
it's very effective, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm glad it exists.
Very effective for paralysis and many other, and swelling and many other problems.
I see that Dr. Gary Weaver wrote that he thinks that there may be a language difficulty, which is something that could be interesting to discuss on the discussion board. The whole issue of what counts as a compound, an artificial compound or a natural compound. But I would go also to the footnote in 273, where there is the issue of substances that are united by chemical affinity in unchangeable proportions.
Mm-hmm.
And
we discussed this, that yesterday.
Yeah, and this seems to be something that's more found with natural substances than with substances that are artificially put together, or very specifically alkalines that are taken out of plants. I'd like to get to the point that's at the end of this aphorism, although I have a feeling we'll be revisiting this aphorism tomorrow, because we have to close soon. Hahnemann says something that I think is so typically Hahnemann, and it gives an insight into the way he worked and into his personality, because in the last few lines of the aphorism, he says basically, suppose in the worst case that the remedy didn't work, it didn't help because it wasn't chosen correctly and it was no good, but your mistakes will add to knowledge about the remedy. So
mm-hmm.
It's like an advantage when you use one single substance. You'll see by the new symptoms, I'll just read it, because by the new symptoms excited by it in such a case, these symptoms which this medicinal substance had already shown in experiments on the healthy human body are confirmed, okay, which you get from a simple substance, but with a complex substance you won't know. So it means your screw-up can add to universal knowledge of homeopathy as long as you're using simple substance. If you're
mm-hmm.
using compound remedies with no proving, with no clarity, then your screw-up is just that, a screw-up. So,
Eleanor said something about that at the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
She said, do not be afraid of making mistakes, providing you don't make them the same one twice.
Oh, I don't know. It depends how much fun the mistakes are to be.
Oh, well, if you keep doing, if you keep from making the same mistakes, I don't think you're going to get far. So.
Okay.
Okay, so do we have any more to say about aphorism 274? Let me see if there was any of the reading that we missed out. I have a little part. Did you read this? And because, on the other hand, a simple medicinal substance, when used in diseases, the totality of whose symptoms is accurately known, renders efficient aid by itself alone, if it be homeopathically selected. It kind of is a summary.
Yeah. It follows the track. If you choose the correct remedy and you choose it well enough and you choose it homeopathically, then one remedy will be enough to do the job that you are trying to do at that time. But the remedy should be proved. And if you screw up with this one remedy, the knowledge that you get from your mistake is something that will benefit the entire homeopathic community. It's sort of something like that, I think. I see Dr. Gary Weaver writes, the translation of Dudgeon does not use the term natural. I think the whole issue of the footnote to 273 is that needs more understanding, more going into what is a combination, what is a combination found in nature, which kind of combinations can be used in classical homeopathy, can count as a single substance, and which not.
Okay, I'm going to give my umbrella statement for today.
Mm-hmm.
It's called The Power of One. That's for me. And it,
oh,
I
that's
want to
nice.
Say hi. Thank you so much. We're out of time.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Who's Reading the Organon with homeopaths Vera Resnick and Debbie Brook on Homeopathy World Community Blog Talk Radio. Remember to take the Organon off the shelf and read it.